Alicia checked herself out in the full-length mirror on the bathroom door. She liked how she looked in her black leather jacket, low-slung sweater, and tight jeans. Though heels would have suited her style better, flats were the smarter choice after 8 hours in cop shoes. She returned to the Grey Gulls bar and was finishing her second Jack and Coke when her cell rang. Dylan Taylor, the new head of private security on Stiles Island, was already 5 minutes late, and she wasn't pleased about it at the moment. Nothing was sitting well with her just lately. Her food didn't taste right. Her music didn't sound right. Even the Jack and Coke wasn't going down as smooth and warm as it had in the past. She was worn out. It wasn't the job that had taken the toll on her as much as the cross-burning and her inability to stop obsessing over what had happened at the Scupper. It had all gone so well up to then, until those asshole bikers rode into town. Everybody from Suit to Gabe to Molly had told her it was no big deal, that they'd all gone through similar troubles early in their careers on the PPD. "Look, Alicia," Molly said, "during my probationary period, I pulled over one of the selectmen for speeding near the elementary school. If it hadn't been by a school, I think I would have let him go. But by the school, I couldn't just give him a pass. He called me a bitch and made a really crude remark about my menstrual cycle. I didn't like that very much, and I lost it. I said some stuff to him that could have cost me my job. It happens to everybody." Suit and Gabe made it a point to tell her that there were no hard feelings about her pushing back when they showed up at the Scupper that day, when she confronted the bikers. Suit told her that he would have been just as mad had their roles been reversed. The thing was, their roles could never be reversed. Not really. You couldn't change the color of your skin. It was amazing what getting called a nigger by some angry, uneducated fool had done to her. Those two syllables had kicked out the legs of her chair, and now she had to struggle not to see the world the way her father did. A hard and cynical man, he had begged her not to take the job in Paradise, but to stay home in New York and join the NYPD like he had. "You're not Rosa Parks, girl," he told her. "Ain't nobody gonna thank you or build you no statues for being the first African-American woman on some pissant department in Massachusetts." More painful than hearing her father's voice in her head like some sadistic earworm was her questioning Jesse's motives for hiring her, doubting her colleague's acceptance of her, and wondering if Dylan saw her not as a woman he could love, but as a prize. Okay, let's scratch the hot black chick off the list of conquests. Next. But the worst of it was her self-recrimination. A night spent beating herself up over her weakness. How easily she had let some stupid remark blow her up. That and her drinking. She saw it was Dylan on the phone and answered. "You're late.